chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. We'll read verses 12 through verse 19. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth or dirt. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged him again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, where the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. You'll notice in verse 1, of this chapter, there was a famine in the land. It wasn't the first famine, because we continue to read, and it says, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. We live in a land of famine. We live in a land of spiritual famine. So in light of the fact that there was a famine in the land, Isaac, just like his father Abraham, thought it was necessary to go to Egypt. Be careful of coming under the directing persuasion of difficult circumstances. Be careful of coming under the directing persuasion of famine. That's what Isaac did. That's what his father did. We see Isaac is on his way to Egypt in verse 1 also. So he's on his way to Egypt, and he arrives in the city of Gerar. Now, back in Genesis chapter 20, we see Abraham, his father, in Gerar. If you look at a map, Gerar is the borderland between Canaan and Egypt. So he's in the city of Gerar. It was here, again, he's on his way to Egypt. It was here in verses 2 and 3 that God in his mercy intervened and prevented Isaac from going all the way down to Egypt. Notice verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. It's not dwell in this land, but dwell thee in the land that I shall tell thee of. Sojourn, verse 3, in this land, the city of Gerar, you travel through, but don't go down to Egypt. And I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So God in his mercy intervenes and prevents Isaac from going down to Egypt. Thank God for his merciful intervention in our lives. Do you realize how many times you and I would have gone a long way down into Egypt had not God intervened? But notice God told Isaac to sojourn there in Gerar. That is, keep on moving, travel through. But we read in verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He settled down there. In verse 7, just like his father, Isaac sinned in Gerar. In fact, he repeated the same sin of his father. There's a message there as well. How many times we have seen with our own eyes children repeating the sins of their father. From verse 8, we see that he'd been there a long time now. He was to sojourn. Now he's been there a long time. Verses 12 through 14, God blesses him a hundredfold, which shows he's a God of mercy, a God of grace. But because of these blessings, we read in verse 14 that the Philistines envied him. The Philistines were jealous of Isaac. As a result of their envy, verse 15, they filled the wells that Abraham's servants had dug earlier for the watering of the flocks and herds. That is, they obstructed the water from those wells. In verse 16, Abimelech, he's the king of Gerar, he says to Isaac, go from us. Get out of here. And in verse 17, Isaac arrives in the valley of Gerar. Different place. Same vicinity. But he's now departed some distance from the city itself of Gerar. And he's in the valley of Gerar. And that brings us to our text. Isaac knew that in that valley, his father, Abraham, had dug some wells. But Isaac soon discovers that the Philistines had filled those wells. Verse 18. In verse 19, Isaac's servants begin to dig. They begin to uncover. They begin to remove the earth, the dirt, the debris from those wells. And they found a well of springing water. So what we read here, we read of stopped up wells, and we read of a well of springing water. And that's our subject. Stopped up wells or springing water, which is it? Which is it tonight in your life? Has the well been stopped up? Or are you enjoying springing water? So let's look first of all at what these wells represent. In Bible times, wells, of course, were of extreme importance. A lot of desert. Men and animals must have water to survive. And in those desert lands, water, of course, was absolutely vital. Absolutely invaluable. And when people dug a well in a particular piece of land, it was a statement of ownership of that land. It was a proof of title. Once someone dug a well on a piece of land, it was their way of staking claim to that property. Abraham had dug wells in the valleys, in the valley of Gerar. A well would signal to all intruders, all enemies and friends alike, this land belongs to someone. Isaac had inherited this land where his father Abraham had dug wells. The land was his. It belonged to him. We read from time to time in the Word of God to show the importance of wells in that day, that wells became a point of contention and wars were fought over wells. And to fill in a well with dirt was an act of war. So we need to have that understanding. We see also a well, of course, means that there is a source of water. And almost everywhere Abraham went, he dug wells. And in those wells, of course, were that which was necessary for physical life, that which would provide strength and comfort, and refreshment, and even rejuvenation. More importantly, for you and I, there are spiritual wells. There are spiritual wells. We notice in Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's our privilege, to draw water out of the wells, plural, of salvation. In salvation, there are many wells. It's our privilege to draw from them. It's our opportunity to draw from them. And all the blessing of being able to draw water out of the wells of salvation. So what does the drawing water out of the wells of salvation signify? Well, it speaks of enjoying the blessings of our salvation. When we are enjoying the blessings of our salvation, we're drawing water out of the wells of salvation. It speaks of that which is needed to maintain our spiritual health. The wells of salvation. You draw waters from those wells, you can maintain spiritual health. It is for the well-being and the vigor of our own spiritual life and the wells of salvation. These wells of salvation speak of glorious possibilities for our spiritual life. They speak of spiritual strength and comfort and refreshment. They speak of spiritual peace and assurance and even victory. The wells of salvation are God's provision for our spiritual life. And we are able to draw water out of those wells. Water, again, is essential to life. Spiritual water is essential to spiritual life. Water has a purifying influence. Water can cleanse. And we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Water is refreshing. Water has universal uses. It allows us to take in and appropriate our food as nourishment. In other words, without food or without water, food is not absorbed into our system. So what that means is that without water, you will die. Even if you don't have food, or even if you do have an abundance of food, you will die. You need water. It's an absolute necessity. And there are the wells of salvation. And it is in those wells that we find the water that we need. So Isaac goes down into the valley of Giar. He knows that Dad has dug wells there, so he knows there's water in that valley. And that brings us to our second point, which is there was a problem relating to the wells. And so it is today. Upon Isaac's arrival in the valley of Gerar, he's faced with that urgent and very desperate need. We need water. We need water. So there's Isaac with his family, his servants, his animals. And they needed something that was absolutely essential to their life, to their well-being. They needed water. Without this water, they will die. And Isaac knows, I know there are wells in the valley of Gerar. I know that because my father dug wells there. I know there are wells in that valley. I know there's water in that valley. Isaac needed water. His family needed water. His servants needed water. His animals needed water. And Isaac knows there's water in the valley of Gerar. So he knew that there were wells in that valley. But when he gets there, we read that the Philistines had stopped them. That is, the Philistines had filled them with dirt. Notice verse 15. When he was back in the city of Gerar, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Now he's moved on to the valley of Gerar, expecting to find water. And again, he discovers that the Philistines had also stopped up these wells with earth. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. That's an act of an enemy. That's an act of war in Bible times. The problem was not that the water was no longer in the valley of Gerar. That wasn't the problem. Down in the depths were these wells. And in those wells was the water they so desperately needed. And the water was still there. The water that would strengthen them, the water that would give them comfort, the water that would soothe them and refresh them, it was still there. It was still there in the valley of Gerar. The water that was so essential to their well-being was still there. The water that they absolutely needed was still there. They couldn't see it, but it was still there. But in their present circumstance, it couldn't be used. The water was there, but the well is filled with earth, so it can't be used. Spiritually, the water's still there. Always is. But many times it can't be used because the well is filled with earth. They knew that there was water in those wells. They knew that what they so desperately needed was in those wells. But the Philistines had filled them with earth, with rubbish, with refuse. The water is there, but there's a problem. Again, the problem is not that the water is no longer there. The problem is the wells are cluttered and covered over. That's the problem. The water is there, but earth and rubbish was standing between them and the water that they so desperately needed. The water's there, but they can't put their vessels in and draw water because earth is in the way. Earth is in the way. How many times does earth get in the way? Many. How many times do the things of this world get in the way? The enemy had filled the well. Earth is in the way. The water is there, but they are unable to lay hold of it because the earth is in the way. They're unable to get to it. How discouraging, how frustrating this must have been. Knowing that the water is right there, but we can't get to it. The water we need is right there, but we can't get to it. Now, there are the wells of salvation provided by God in the midst of very desperate and urgent need. And those wells are filled with the spiritual resources that you and I need, filled with that which will allow us to take in spiritual food for our own spiritual nourishment. But there's a problem. All the earth, all the clutter, all the rubbish. And because of that, many of God's people are unable to draw from the wells. They're right there, right where you're standing. But because of earth, they can't get to it. I believe there are a lot of God's people in that exact position as we speak. The earth concealed the resources. They went back to the old wells, thinking there's refreshing water there. But the water's hidden. The well's hidden. Likewise, many of God's people cannot see great and glorious truths right in front of them. Right in front of them. Because earth has filled the wells. There's too much earth in the way. Jesus Christ is a well. The promises of God are a well. The treasures of God's Word are a well. But how many times Jesus Christ, the promises of God, and the treasures of God's Word are concealed from view because of earth? Not only concealed from view, but they can't even be used because earth is in the way. And when you don't have the water, you can't appropriate the unsearchable riches of Christ to your life. They cannot appropriate the blessings of God to their life. They cannot appropriate the treasures of God's Word to their life. Oh, and they'll come up with all kinds of reasons. Preacher doesn't preach right, or this person, that person. There's all kinds of reasons, but none of them are the reason. The reason is the well is cluttered with earth and rubbish. It's not that the promises of God are null and void. The problem is not with the promises of God. The problem is earth. And it's not that the unsearchable riches of Christ have run out. It's not that the treasure of God's Word has been emptied. The problem is earth has filled the wells. There are people, God's people, who can take this book, read it, and get absolutely nothing out of it. Nothing. The problem isn't with the book. Nothing wrong with the book. The problem is all the earth in their lives. I mean, I've seen people, you preach to them, and for decades, they don't get anything. They don't get a thing. The problem, I'm not saying that sometimes the problem could be preaching, but that's usually not the problem. The problem is their well is filled with earth. That's the problem. You have to deal with the problem. So they were standing right where the wells were. I can picture Isaac saying, come over here. I know Dad dug a well right here. I know he did. It's all filled. I know there's water there. But they can't get to it because of all the earth in the way. How many times you tell somebody, you try to encourage them, you say, read such and such a chapter in the Bible. Read such and such a verse. And they do, and they'll come back and say, well, I read it, but what's your point? That's pitiful. But they can't get anything out of it because the well is covered with earth. Again, water enables us to appropriate our food as nourishment, enables us to absorb our food into our system. One of the manifestations of plugged spiritual wells is the inability to absorb spiritual food into our lives. There are God's people, or at least they profess to be God's people. We'll take them at their word and say they are. But they are unable to receive the food of God into their lives. It's all because of all the earth. It's not the lack of spiritual food. They're in a pastoral life that's been pastoring very long that has not been accused from time to time, you don't feed me, you don't feed me. Well, you got to come hungry. You got to be able to get to the well. It is earth-filled wells. And God's people are not able to appropriate the available spiritual food for their nourishment. And I believe this is commonplace in our churches today. I believe it's commonplace for God's people to go on content with just listening. Big difference between listening and really hearing. Just content with just listening or reading the truth and never ever making spiritual or personal application to their own lives. Just like Isaac and his people, the wells are there, the water is there, but they couldn't apply it to their lives. Why? The reason is the same as today. Earth. Earth is in the way. Clutter and rubbish has filled the wells. The problem was not that the wells had gone dry. And that's not the problem today either. The Word of God has not gone dry. The promises of God have not gone dry. That's not the problem. The problem is all the earth in the lives of God's people. All the clutter. All the rubbish that prevents God's people from reaching that strengthening, comforting, and refreshing water. Notice Matthew 13, Familiar verse, Matthew 13. And then we'll look at Mark's account of the same thing. Matthew 13, verse 22, speaking of this parable of the seed. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. Okay, here's the problem. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Then notice Mark's account, Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That those two words, other things, there's a lot there. How many times our lives are filled with other things, and we can't get to the water in the well? Stopped up wells. Again, we read in verse 15 concerning the wells in the city of Gerar that the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. In verse 18, concerning the wells in the valley of Gerar, the Philistines had stopped them. This is the work of an enemy. That is the work of an enemy. Anyone who throws earth in the wells that God has made available for your life is doing the work of an enemy. I don't care who it is. They may not mean to, but I'm here to tell you they're doing the work of an enemy. But many times we don't need someone else to cast earth into our well. We're pretty good at doing it ourselves. And if we cast earth upon God's provided wells, we oppose ourselves. We oppose ourselves. I'm going to take this job. It's going to keep me away from my family. It's going to keep me away from church. But this is what's best for me. You're an enemy to yourself. Those that oppose themselves, Paul told Timothy of. They oppose themselves. You can't help them. They oppose themselves. They're continually bringing more and more and filling that well. And many spend their day doing just that. Filling the well with earth. Filling the well with clutter. Filling the well with rubbish. And now they can't even enjoy the water. It stopped. So when Isaac arrives in Gerar, he no doubt went to those spots where he knew that his father had previously dug wells. And when he got to those spots, he couldn't see the well. And Isaac realized the problem. He had more sense than a lot of people do today. He realized the problem. And with the realization of the problem, notice what he did in verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water. And in verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley. They knew the well's right there. Get out the shovels, start removing the dirt. And that's what they did. They didn't stand there and say, I know there's a well there, but we can't get to it, and then draw some false conclusion. But you can draw all the false conclusions you want, and you can base your life upon those conclusions, and I've known people that have done that. That won't get you water out of the well. Draw all the conclusions you want. It will not get water out of the well. They did not just throw up their hands in despair. Despair will not get you water out of the well. They did not focus upon, we're going to go after the Philistines. We're going to go to war with the Philistines. Wars won't get you water out of the well. They knew the wells were there, but they realized that they were filled with earth. So what did they do? They got busy removing the earth. And that's the answer. If you can't get water out of the well, the water's still there. Remove what's stopping it. And that's what they do. We must come to the realization that there is earth that stands between us and the water. And many times we're the ones that bring the earth into our lives. But we must realize there's earth there. We've got to remove this earth because we know there's a well down there. And so they break out the shovels. And they got moved. They got busy. Removing the clutter. Oh, that God's people would remove the clutter out of their life. Remove the rubbish that stood between them and the water. Again, most people want to blame just about anything upon their spiritual condition. If you are in a bad spiritual condition, that is no one's fault but your own. And that is always so. No one else you can blame. You need to get a shovel and you need to start digging out the earth. We must come to the realization of the amount of clutter and rubbish that stands between us and the water. And get busy removing the earth. So they began to remove the earth, and the result was, verse 19, a well of springing water. Quite a difference. Quite a difference between stopped up wells and a well of springing water. And as children of God, we are privileged to enjoy the wonderful provisions of God's wells. But the problem is, many times, we allow others to put earth in our well, or we put our own earth. Either way, we deprive ourselves of the wonderful blessings of the well of springing water. If earth gets in the well, you have to do something. You have to do something with that earth. You have to do something with the clutter and the rubbish. That's true individually. That's true collectively as well. We must ask and examine ourselves individually. How much earth is in my life? Way too much. I'm answering my own question. Way too much. How much clutter? How much rubbish between me and God's abundant supply? Way too much. We can ask ourselves, am I enjoying a well of springing water? Or is the well plugged up? Which is it? Frustration over the plugged up well? Or enjoyment of a well of springing water. Again, it's true in our individual lives. There are people that if you allow in your life, they will plug up every well that you have. It's your fault for allowing them in your life and doing it. That's true of us individually. That's true collectively as a church. There will always be people who throw earth into the well. And if you allow them to do it long enough, the well will be covered. The well will be covered. God help us not to allow anyone to throw earth into the well. God help us not to throw, that we ourselves do not throw earth into our well. And when we find that the well is covered, you go, you take this book and you say, I know there's comfort here. I know what I need I can find here. And you open it up and you read it for hours and hours and hours and you don't get a thing. Your well's covered up. The well's covered up. You get nothing. You listen to the preaching week after week and you get nothing. There's a problem. There's a problem. And you need to address the problem, which is too much earth. If you wrongly identify the problem, your solution's not going to work. So we have to rightly identify the problem, too much earth. And we need to start getting it out of the way. That's true in a lot of marriages as well. It's too much earth for it to work. It's true in a lot of relationships. It's too much earth. It's too much earth. We need to get it out of the way. God help us. Brother Mark, if you'll come and lead us.